In the days of the Reformation, Lutherans insisted that justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. But is this still the case?
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In a world of moral anarchy, is discussing how man is justified still the most important conversation we need to have? The answer is yes, because we'll never regain a proper understanding of marriage or human identity or even morality itself until we first understand what it means to be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the centrality of justification at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find registration information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this blessing us on this afternoon and blessing us with this amazing horse.
It's always creeping up in almost every historical era in different iterations, this idea that bodily material world is not as valuable or as divine as the spiritual world.
Gentlemen, open up your mouths and sing. It is a manly thing to sing. This is the church going to war, and you may sing as the army of Christ.
But I would rather have my eyes plucked out. I'd rather be imprisoned rather than deny this. Jesus lives, and he's the only God. And I'd rather die a martyr than be thought well of by a tolerant world and go to hell.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
We tend to compartmentalize these two things as two separate causes of concern to Christians, not to Christians alone, but it is of social concern to Christians, political concern to Christians, the protection of the unborn, of life from beginning to end, the life issue, and the marriage issue. We tend to compartmentalize them like they're two different social causes, so to speak, when in fact they're not at all. But what is the connection between the Christian concerns for the sanctity of marriage and the Christian concern for the sanctity of life, both outside the church in the world, where there are lives to be saved, and inside the church, where there are minds still to be changed and hearts to be changed? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, May the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the sanctity of life and marriage. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana will be our guest. Dr. Ken Sherb joins us after that for part three of a four-part series we're doing with him on the theology of the cross. Today, the theology of the cross and human care. There's a connection there as well. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, will join us to talk about the employment potential of stay-at-home moms. Why do employers ignore that by and large? And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites to play for you. We will play them for you in the last half hour of the program. And your task in this little game we like to play with our listeners is to first listen and then to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote for soundbite of the week, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Joining us to talk about the sanctity of life and marriage on this Friday afternoon, Dr. Peter Scare. He's associate professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of a column for the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Then Comes Marriage. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
You say that the world has become captivated, and not lately, but some time back, with a very dark vision when it comes to life and marriage. What is that vision?
Yeah, that vision goes back at least to the 19-teens and in America with Margaret Sanger. And it's her vision that really has taken over, I think, Western civilization. And it began as a kind of a rebellion that she had. Her father was a communist, and she took up that vision, too, of communism. But she was also, her father was a very abusive, so I think she also became very much anti-man, anti-male. and she saw herself as being infringed upon as her rights were taken away. She saw a certain unfairness in the world, and that was simply the unfairness of being a woman. And there were a lot of fears at that time of overpopulation as well. She was in New York City at the time, so I guess we can understand that. But she asked this kind of question, why is it that women, why do women have to pay the price, so to speak, of bearing the child and then being the mother for these children? She saw marriage as something which would hold women captive. There was a kind of bondage that women were under. And this was really the beginning of the women's liberation movement in our nation. But even more than that, so she began to see husbands as the enemy and also children as a burden, so that she wanted to be free from this oppression would be free from the bondage to having children. So no longer to see children as a blessing, to be free from the rule of men, who she came to see as kind of her oppressors. And then that tied as well into her vision of the church and of God. So she would write in very similar ways as she would about men, in very similar ways about priests, about ministers of the church, and also of a God who would do this. So hers was kind of a radical revolution in which she came to deny, I think, the very blessings of motherhood that we, and this is a great time to talk about it with, especially during this season when we do celebrate Mother's Day.
So let's talk a little bit about the other vision that the church ought to have, sadly has imbibed of Sanger's vision in many cases, or allowed it to subtly influence our own thinking about both marriage and the gift of life. What, if we lay aside the degree to which it's been corrupted by those things, how should the church regard both marriage and the fruit of marriage?
Well, I'm telling you that I'm thinking about this right now because in just a couple of weeks, I'm going to be visiting once more Tanzania and the church there in Africa. And when you visit, it's hard not to be struck at how central family is to that church and how it's simply teeming with life. There are children everywhere. I remember I had the opportunity a couple of years ago doing baptisms at the beginning of the church service, and there were great lines of women who were there with their infant children waiting to be baptized, and it was just so exciting and so wonderful. And that's a vision, I think, of the church which is life affirming, and it goes back to Genesis, where life is good, and he creates all of these things in the world, the plants and the animals, and at the end he creates Adam. And from Adam's side, Eve, and the two become one. And from that union comes children. And with this joyful command to be fruitful and multiply. And I think in a church which is lively, a church which embraces the gospel and the hope that comes with it, I think that vision still lives today. The intrusions come in all sorts of ways. I mean, we can see it when the desire for money becomes too great, so we think more about money than children. When worry takes place and we consider, we're concerned about the future, not forgetting that God, of course, has it in his control. Forgetting that children are a gift from God and they ultimately belong to God. Forgetting that we have eternal souls and our children, no matter what, will be held tightly in the arms of our Lord to live here with us as a gift from God, but then to live forever with our Lord when we join together, having been made children of God in his holy baptism. And the other part of the vision, of course, is which children are sanctified by creation, and they're redeemed also by the redemption of Christ Jesus, who came into our world as a little child, lived in the womb of his mother Mary. And then the pictures, I think, that still, I think, bring so many smiles to our faces is to see the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ holding the little children in his arms, telling his apostles, "Let the children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such belongs the kingdom of God." So this is a life-affirming message, which then expresses itself in Christ's own childhood and his love for children.
So what you're saying here, at least the implication of what you're saying here, is that while we might be tempted to look at this as two causes, so to speak, the cause of defending life in a culture of death and the cause of defending marriage in a culture of, I don't even know what to call it, Peter, complete debauchery and rejection of marriage in every form possible. They are really two parts of one thing that the church affirms, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is kind of a thing that I've been trying to help people to understand over these last few years. Because when you look at the cause of pro-life, it's organically related to what we say about who Christ is and why he came. If we look at the issue of marriage, it's not just a social issue as if it were a political thing and or a political football and we could come down on one side or the other. But what we say of the life in the womb, we say of Christ in every ultrasound, I think. We should think that we are looking at Christ himself who became one of us, who joined to our humanity as the littlest of children. And what we say of marriage, likewise, I don't know what it will mean in this next generation to proclaim that Christ is the bridegroom who sacrificed himself for his bride, the church, if in fact we are so willing to abandon marriage, if we're so willing to abandon the one union from which we came, the male and female, which is a picture for us of Christ's sacrificial love for the church. So these things are tied together inextricably. If we deny the life in the womb, I guarantee you we'll deny Christ as well. We'll deny the little one. Christmas will fall by the wayside. How could we possibly celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ when we're not even able to stand up for those little ones who are being born all around us? And how will we possibly stand up for or be faithful to Christ, who is our bridegroom? And that's, as the church, that's ultimately that's what we're called to do. If we are to be the church of God, we must be faithful as the bride to our bridegroom. And one of the ways that we do that is to be faithful to the God of creation who gave us Christ Jesus as our bridegroom, the God of creation who, in fact, made us male and female so that from this union children would come. So it's all wrapped up into one. And if we should deny Christ here, so also will we deny him there. And the one thing I think that needs to be brought home is when St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that's the worst thing that we can do as a church, is to be ashamed of our Lord and what he has taught us. So if he has says that marriage is what it is, then it's up for us to affirm that and to say, yes, it really is to say I'm proud of Christ, and let the world go away. Let the world be wrong, because I know I can trust in Christ who offered his life for me.
Dr. Peter Scarer is our guest, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, has the church started a slide away from affirming the gift of marriage in its now generation-long silence on divorce?
Scientism is not science. It's a dangerous and self-refuting philosophy that fixates on means but ignores wisdom.
Dr. Angus Manoj of the Evangelical Philosophical Society talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it leads to the abolition of man, as man is reduced to a material object. It's used as a weapon by atheists and skeptics to attack religion as a source of knowledge. It begins with Bacon's dictum, knowledge is power, but it overlooks the way in which power corrupts.
You can meet and hear Dr. Angus Manoj making the case against scientism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to Sacred Music for the Easter Season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the sanctity of marriage and life. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. He's author of a column for the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Then Comes Marriage. You can learn more about the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. The Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Peter, I wonder if the church has begun a slide away from the affirmation of God's gift of marriage, as much as we still kind of on paper affirm it. Have we begun to back off due to our now generation-long silence on divorce?
Well, it's been going on for quite some time. And as you said, really, Margaret Sanger made it easier with birth control. And with birth control, it takes away the problem that was for her, the problem of children. And of course, that's crept up into our churches as well, so that we are having younger people waiting longer and longer in order to get married, because they can, because of the pill. But also, you're right in the sense that we live in a glass house, because who are we to defend natural marriage when we have not lived it out among ourselves? And one of the great tragedies of our day and age is divorce, which is divorce is kind of like it's a disease, and it kind of grows like a cancer within a congregation. And when one person divorces, that encourages another person to get divorced. And of course, we see the results are just heartbreaking. It breaks my heart when I see a young person on Thursday or Friday and he doesn't know who he's going to spend his weekend with, because he might have two houses, but he has no home. Now, that doesn't mean that our Lord can't repair these things or that he can't bring healing. But we better know that what we're dealing with here, that we're dealing with something sacred. And this is in the Gospel of Mark. You know, the Gospel of Mark only talks about hell once in the whole gospel. And it has to do with children and with scandalizing children. And it's a very difficult thing for children brought up in divorce to remain faithful unto death, because it warps their view of who God is as Father. It also warps their view of who Christ is as one who redeemed the church, the bridegroom. So these things are all wrapped up together. But I should also say this, as Lutherans, we do have one advantage, is that we don't have to justify ourselves. And there are a lot of things in life that we've done. And also, I think, you know, we've fallen into errors here and there, perhaps coming to think that something like maybe divorce is not all that big of a deal, but we don't have to justify that. That's been done for by Christ. We are allowed to say, in fact, we're called to say and to repent and say, you know, we made a mistake here. We sinned here. We erred there. But we resolve now in Christ to change the error of our ways. We repent of this, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that Christ has paid for this. But once we find out that perhaps we've been going down that wrong road, it's no reason then to say, well, we've gone and Christ forgives us. No, we say we've gone that way, but now there is a better way. And this is to learn not simply from our parents, but from our grandparents and from the fathers in the faith that have gone generations before us, that there is a better way. It's to return to scriptures and to hear once the living voice of our Lord and say, yes, it's his voice that I would like to follow, and I don't need to justify myself. I can, and this is true for all the people who have gone through pain of divorce. Know that the Lord has healing for you. Know the Lord has forgiveness for you. But we don't have to then say, oh, divorce is okay. No, it's like with all of our sins. We simply repent. That's the godly way, and that's the way towards forgiveness and renewal.
You say that we would do well, perhaps, especially us Lutherans, to recover an ancient Hebrew wedding toast. You often see it in movies, L'chaim, to life. Why is that?
Well, I just think that we're living in what's been often called a culture of death, or it's called a culture of sterility, I think while the ancients might have worshipped fertility goddesses, I think sometimes we worship infertility goddesses. And we look at schools and churches that are often without children, and we say something's gone wrong here. I think now it's time to celebrate the things that really matter. And of course, God matters first, Christ matters first, but our Lord is the Lord of life, and our God is who created, and children are a special blessing to him. So we need to, I think, put our head back on straight and say, what are the things that really matter? And I think from a human perspective, we should well understand it. As we come, into our older years, we recognize having the money doesn't matter that much, and what vacations we go on and what clothes we wear don't matter nearly as much as the love that is by which we are surrounded. And that's the love of Christ, but it's the love of loved ones who are children, that bring joy into the world, that give us hope, that help us to think of the future, that get us beyond ourselves. And instead of that, we can abandon this kind of selfish world in which we live for ourselves and we won't accommodate ourselves even to a spouse, won't accommodate our own hearts to the openness of children. And if you're a parent, you know that every child is completely different as you're confronted with this new reality. And you are called upon to love, again, someone who is other, but will bring such joy to your life. And of course, that's the communion. We're called as Christians. We're in communion with God. That's what ultimately it's to be forgiven, but to be brought into the life of God, which is to love one another, to love Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but then to love the others who God has created alongside of us. And that begins with family. And what joy, I think, we're missing out when we take the kind of attitude that Margaret Sanger had, which is ultimately of selfishness.
How do we do this in the church with a careful sensitivity toward those who would want nothing more than to have children but can't?
Yeah, it's absolutely true that there are so many who would so much, that there are single people out there, for instance, who would love to get married, and frankly, there aren't a lot of good husbands. That's what they tell me. They're a good men who they could rely on, and then I know there are faithful men who would love to find a good Christian spouse, a good Christian wife, and we should facilitate that as much as possible within the body of Christ. But then there are those, married couples who would also love to have children, and for whatever reason, the Lord has not given them children. That does not say anything about them. There are ways by which God can give us all an openness to life, whether we have children or not. It's not the problem. We come together as families and invite those who do not have families into our own. And I think we need to have an openness within the congregation where each congregation is a family of God, and we treat these others as brothers and sisters. And we all know in some congregations where things can be very closed because people are so tight with their family that they're no longer open to others. And that's not the Christian vision. The Christian vision is love for those who are lost, but also embracing those who are lonely and celebrating life with them, knowing that in the end, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we do all belong to a greater family.
Finally, then, this is an uphill battle. It's not just against the prevailing vision that the culture has, which shows no sign of abating whatsoever. It's only growing stronger and more hostile toward both marriage and to life. But it's even an uphill battle in the church, too. How do we regain what it is, really, the emphasis on these things as good gifts from God that we, in faith, willingly receive?
As always, it's a return to scriptures. As always, it's a return to the very basic text, to the book of Genesis, to the celebration of life that we have there. I think we also have to think about things that matter to us, and we might have to make some decisions about the way we treat our cell phones, the way we treat the media. Because the world, we have to recognize now, is secular in a way that it wasn't. I'm 51 years old, and the world is so much different now than it was when I was 20. And we've always lived in a sinful world. But the vision of Margaret Sanger, the anti-Christian vision of our world now, is so strong that I think in some ways we need to withdraw from a lot of that and recognize. I think it might mean things like, as the church, gathering more as the church, not simply for the service, but in social hour, in men's club, in women getting together, and And it can be very joyful. I mean, I've seen so many wonderful men's club where the guys get together. And, you know, a lot of guys are lonely. They're sitting at home. They don't know what to do with themselves. A good men's club can go a long way to reestablishing friendships and bonds of friendships that can... And we need to reaffirm the gifts that we already have in the church. Sometimes when you lose something, it actually becomes an opportunity for rediscovery. And I think that's where we might be. And frankly, I see it here on our campus. I teach at Concordia Theological Seminary. And among our students, I think in many ways they're leading the way with the joy that they have with children. I think we see children all around in our chapel services in ways that I haven't seen it before. I see young couples who are embracing marriage. And I also see men who are young men who are embracing friendship and women who are doing the same among each other. So there is a life, and I think we should foster that intentionally and enjoy it, because L'chaim means to life, and it means this is life abundantly that God would have us have.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a column for the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Then Comes Marriage. Peter, thank you again.
Yeah, you're welcome, Todd.
Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana is Lutheran Federal Credit Union's Ministry of the Month during this month, May. When you use your Lutheran FCU debit or credit card for more than $1,500 of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you $5 and Concordia Theological Seminary $5. Lutheran FCU also offers similar opportunities with auto, home, and personal loans as well. Find out more at lutheranfcu.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org. When we come back, we're going to turn to part three of our four-part series with Dr. Ken Scher. We've been talking about the theology of the cross. We've talked about evangelism and missions, and now we move on to human care. Stay tuned.
Children are a gift from God, a rich heritage, a precious trust. They are sinners, baptized saints, little brothers and sisters in Christ. It is this beautiful vision that shapes our daily work as parents and grandparents, teachers, pastors, mentors, and friends. And it's this vision that you'll see shining through every article in this month's Lutheran Witness magazine, The Gift of Children. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Because Christ-centered preaching matters. Because His Word does accomplish that which He purposes. Because hanging out with like-minded Lutherans is important. Hi, I'm Alicia Herman, member of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I invite you to Redeemer. I particularly appreciate Redeemer as a church where God's grace enables us to see that our justification depends not on our performance, but solely on Christ's performance. If you're looking for a Lutheran oasis, we're in a changing culture, the message stays the same. Visit us in Fort Wayne or at redeemer-fortwayne.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world.
truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces, the LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armedforces.